welcome to installment number 292 of Sefer Mitzvos from the Rambam. Today's portion contains two commandments. Prohibition number 219, the prohibition of muzzling or preventing an animal from eating at the time it is working with produce. And positive commandment number 244, the law regarding the financial responsibility of a shayel, someone who borrows an object from another person. As we learned previously in Positive Commandment 201, there is a positive commandment to allow one's workers to eat when they're working with harvesting food. Prohibition 219 is the same idea when applied to an animal. Should an animal be performing work where it comes in contact with food, such as carrying a load of straw on its back, or threshing grain, carrying a heavy object over coarse grain in order to separate the chaff from the wheat. In such a case, the animal has the food right in front of his face. And should we prevent the animal from eating, it would be a tremendous cruelty to the animal. Any act which we do to prevent the animal from eating is a violation of this prohibition number 219. This prohibition derives from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 25, verse 4, which states, Leisachsem sher bedishe. Literally, do not muzzle an ox when it is threshing the grain. However, the Rambam tells us that this verse is only speaking about the most common case. This does not only apply to an ox. The same thing applies to every animal. And it does not only apply when the animal is threshing grain, so to any type of work, when the animal would come in contact with food, also it is forbidden to prevent the animal from eating. And the Rambam adds an amazing strictness in this law, that even if you are only preventing the animal from eating verbally, for example, if the animal should bow down its head to eat, you should scream at the animal or make a noise, preventing it from eating. Even in such a case, you are violating this by biblical prohibition, that even using your voice to prevent the animal is also biblically prohibited. The details of this law are described at length in the 7th chapter of Tractate Baba Metzia. Some other details we see quoted in the Shulchan Aruch is that this prohibition applies even to a non-kosher animal. And even if the animal does not want to eat, but we know the animal is not eating because it happens to be thirsty, then we are required to give the animal something to drink. And once its thirst has been quenched, then it will go and eat the food. We are required not only to allow it to eat, but even to prevent anything which is preventing it from eating. Therefore, we are required to give the animal water in order that it should eat. We are, however, allowed to give the animal less expensive food beforehand to prevent it from eating something more expensive. So, if the animal should be carrying a load of very expensive grapes, we would be allowed to feed the animal inexpensive hay beforehand, in order that it should no longer be hungry and have no desire to eat the grapes which it is carrying. Torah places a great stress on tzar balachayim, the prohibition against causing unnecessary pain to an animal. And many opinions say this prohibition is a biblical prohibition. The Me'iri traces this prohibition back to our very verse, that from our verse we see it as a biblical prohibition to cause pain to an animal, and we must allow it to eat. However, sometimes we see in stories from our sages that the animal was so holy, it itself would cause itself pain, such as the donkey of Rabbi Chanina ben Desa, who once was stolen by a group of thieves and forced it to carry stolen goods. However, after they got the donkey to their hiding place, they saw the donkey was very tired, and they wanted to give the donkey something to eat. However, the donkey refused to eat the food, thinking to himself that the food was stolen. So, too, the donkey refused to drink. He would not take anything from these thieves, because everything they had was stolen. And they tried to give him better food, and no matter what they would do, the animal refused to eat or drink for 3 days and 3 nights. Finally, they became tired, they were fed up with his donkey, and let him loose to go back to his master. And he walked the entire night until he came back to his master's house and started screaming and crying outside of the gate. And finally, Rabbi Chanina ben Desa allowed him in, and the animal ate and the animal drank, because he was able to eat from the food which was not stolen and water which was also not stolen from his master, Rabbi Chanina ben Desa. And from this commandment of being kind to animals, the Chinuch explains that the commandment has an even greater purpose, that the Torah is trying to implant in us the characteristic of kindness. Then when we are constantly kind, even to animals, then kindness will become part of us. And we will be kind not only to animals, but we will be kind to people as well. And the opposite is true, even more so. If we are kind to animals, certainly people we should be kind to. And this is also illustrated in a story from our sages regarding King David, that when he was a young child, he was a shepherd, and would take the sheep far away in order to graze, so they would not steal by grazing on the land of other people. However, King David noticed that the strongest goats were able to eat the best grass, and the weaker ones always went hungry. So finally he decided that he would have to solve the problem, and he would lock up the goats in a pen. And every morning, first, he would let the little baby goats loose, who were only able to eat the most tender grass. Once they had had their fill, then he let out the older goats, who could eat a coarser form of grass, but not the coarsest. And then the older goats would eat their fill. And finally, the young, strong goats, who were capable of digesting anything, were let out of their pen, and they would eat the coarsest, roughest, oldest grass. And everyone was satisfied. Everyone did not fight. They all had exactly what they needed, and all had what they were able to use. And the Medrash states that when Hashem saw this, he said, this person who can care so well for every single one of his sheep, he should take care of my sheep, the Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people. As we see throughout Jewish history, that from the time of Moses and even before, our forefathers were shepherds. That the quality of a shepherd and a leader of the Jewish people is that not only does he care for the highest one of his people, but he cares for every single one, just as King David cared for the most unfortunate of the sheep. That the true characteristic of a leader is that he cares for every single individual and knows what every individual needs and makes it his duty and carries out his task of making sure that everyone gets exactly what they need. The second commandment of today's portion is Positive Commandment 244, dealing with the financial responsibility of a shayel, someone who borrows an object. As we discussed previously in the laws of a paid watchman, or a seicher, someone who rents an object, the Torah differentiates between different degrees of financial responsibility, according to what sort of benefit a person is getting from the object. Therefore, a person who is a shemer chinum, who is an unpaid watchman, has the most limited financial responsibility for the object he is guarding. As we will discuss soon in Mirtz Hashem, in the commandment governing an unpaid watchman, that in normal cases, except in a case of gross negligence, he is exempt from any damage which occurs to the object. On the other extreme is a shayel, someone who borrows an object. Since he is getting exclusive benefit from the object, he is almost always responsible for the object. As the verse in Exodus chapter 22, verse 13 states, "V'chi yishal ish me'im reyehu," if one person borrows from another, and then the verse continues, that if the animal should break a bone or die, then he is even in such a case, he is responsible for payment. Even should the animal die through no fault of his own, he is responsible to pay. Therefore, we see he has the highest degree of financial responsibility. The only case in which he is exempt, if the animal has died at the time of work. If he has borrowed the animal, for example, to plow a field, and in the middle of plowing the field, the animal, due to an inability to take such work, dies, in that case it was the lender's fault, since he lent the animal for such a purpose, and the animal died as a result of that work, in such a case the borrower is exempt, because the lender should have known better. However, if the animal dies at any other time, or for any other cause, even though it is not his fault, he is nevertheless responsible to pay. The details of this law are described in the 8th chapter of Baba Metzia and the 8th chapter of Shavuos. And God willing, we will discuss it at greater length in tomorrow's Shir. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to dedicate one of the Shiurim, please contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. Please join us again tomorrow.